no, it's the jewel of the United States. It is not. It is a half-constructed nightmare.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And Dave, did you know that a fool and his money are soon parted?
Well, I know that you can't buy love.
You sure can buy a cheap facsimile, though. For this episode, we watched Queen of Versailles, which is available on Hulu. And before you think that that means it must be a decent documentary, you're wrong.
So wrong.
It is not. The Queen of Versailles started its life as being about a woman who's married to a billionaire, and they're building the largest single-family home under one roof in America.
Yes, the size of the property, they say, is as big as one of the lands in Disney World.
It's insane. It's a 90,000 square foot house, and it's modeled after Versailles. And it's a gaudy nightmare.
Yeah, picture that transported into the Florida swampland.
The largest and most opulent home in America is in Orlando. It was also influenced by a casino in Las Vegas, Nevada.
There's not a lot of taste in this documentary.
No.
There's a lot of wealth and there's a lot of... Is opulent the right word?
I'm going with glitz, because to me, glitz is like gold-plated and not actually anything that's actually good.
Yeah.
So I guess we should start out by introducing this couple, which is how this documentary starts out. Jackie, who is 43 years old and doesn't look a day over 53, and her husband, David, who is a ripe old 74.
Yes, he's the founder and president and CEO of Westgate Resorts, which is the largest timeshare company in the world.
And Jackie is the former Mrs. Florida.
She's also a former engineer, but it sounds like she lasted like a week.
She tells this story about a coworker who was counting down to retirement at IBM, and so she got rid of all her stuff and moved to New York to be a model.
She got an engineering degree and got a job at IBM, which to me means that she's not stupid.
Engineering is a very tough major.
Right. But she doesn't come across very well in this documentary.
No, she doesn't. They briefly touch on this 30-year age difference. She does candidly tell us that at least her husband doesn't need Viagra, but it might be an option down the road.
Yeah, it's there if he needs it.
Ew.
David says that what she lacks in being a housekeeper, she makes up in loving people, having friends, being a big extrovert with a good heart, and being a good mother.
Yeah.
I don't think that David, 2 years later, is going to say that same sentence.
No. Spoiler alert for our listeners.
She grew up in a one-bathroom, three-bedroom house. In their new house, they're going to have 30.
And their current house is a whopping 26,000 square feet, which is probably somewhat necessary because there's 13 children. I think 7 or 8 of them live with them. They go through their house and they're saying they're bursting at the seams. So they're excited about their new home. It's going to have a bowling alley, 10 kitchens, 2 tennis courts, a full-size baseball field, an ice skating rink, a roller rink. The kids have their own wing.
With a playroom, with a stage.
Yes. It's all going to be decorated with Louis XIV furniture. They have $5 million of marble just waiting to be installed. They have a window that's worth more than our entire home. And they can watch the Disney fireworks from there.
They ask him why he's building this house.
So you ask me why I'm building the largest home in America? My answer is because I could.
He also says that he's personally responsible for getting George W. Bush elected.
Yeah.
Had I not stuck my big nose into it, there probably wouldn't have been an Iraqi war. And maybe we might have been better off. I don't know.
How were you personally responsible for the re-election of George Bush?
I'd rather not say it because it may not necessarily have been legal.
I find that so troubling. He says he's single-handedly responsible for it, but whatever he did wasn't legal. So have we had an election in our lifetimes that hasn't been effed over by some rich dudes?
No.
Probably not in the lifetime of this country, honestly.
Probably not. I think one of the most telling things about David, if you want to sum him up in one quote.
Everyone wants to be rich. If they can't be rich, the next best thing is to feel rich. And if they don't want to feel rich, then they're probably dead.
He's very smug in the beginning of this documentary. He's a billionaire. He's got it all. He rose from nothing. He's become this great benefactor of the world, changing the lives of all of his thousands of employees. He is a smug billionaire.
Yes, and he likes women.
Particularly beautiful women.
Yeah, you mentioned that Jackie was a Mrs. Florida. They're still involved with pageants. And we get this footage of them with all the Miss America contestants in their house. And then we see him proposition the woman who is the current Miss America.
We sure do.
Now I'm Miss America. It just goes to show you that anything is possible, but not without hard work and dedication and passion for what you do.
She wants to get married and have babies. That's what she wants.
And does Miss America allow for that? Does it create opportunities for that?
Well, if she accepts my proposal, she hasn't accepted it yet.
He is a hoot.
He's sort of Hugh Hefner without the robe.
He does not have the charm and charisma of Hugh Hefner, though.
No, but it feels like he has some of the tendencies, maybe.
He has the desire. During these halcyon days of this family, they're the Seagulls, I guess we should mention that. Jackie talks about how she spends $1 million a year on clothes shopping. And David says he doesn't care about material things, but he sure does like killing lions. So there's pictures of him with taxidermy lions all over this house.
We also need to mention, because this comes up a couple times, one of the things that drives Jackie, she says,
my husband told me when I turn 40, he's going to trade me in for 2 20-year-olds.
Classy.
There's enough of a threat to it that she seems like her actions betray that she is a little concerned about it.
Yeah, she with the Miss America thing, she's kind of like hovering and seems a little anxious about him being around her. And that just makes me sad. This guy's not that great.
No, he's not. He's just got $1 billion.
Or does he?
Yeah, it's a question maybe of how much of that is actually liquid.
Right.
The other person that we probably need to talk about, Richard Siegel, is David's son. Richard got a job from his dad. We get this crazy pep talk from Richard to his sales team about how vacations save lives.
Why are we here?
Save lives!
To save lives! And you thought you were just selling timesharing, didn't you? Those who take the fewest amount of vacations are most likely to have a heart attack. You're just like a doctor, a nurse, a fireman. They all save lives, and you all do it too.
And then he tells them that they should own at least a week of the timeshare. But if they don't...
You know, you should own at least 1 week yourselves. And if you don't, lie and say you do.
We should say, like, timeshares, for those people who don't know what that is, it's where you pay money to purchase time at a resort, and then you can stay there for a prescribed number of days a year, or apparently every other year, and it's super scammy.
Obviously, they're making money.
Hand over foot.
And so that probably means that you're losing money.
Right. They show footage of the salespeople like walking around and conning these people. They even describe them like, these are the people that shop at Walmart. This is Joe Lunch Bucket. So it's people who don't have a lot of money and they're sort of conning them into this.
Around the time when they're doing their $1 billion in sales, they're opening the Westgate Towers in Las Vegas. It's a little bit of a unintentional foreshadowing because David's parents lost all of their money in Vegas.
Yep.
David dedicates this building to his parents. And then the stock market crash of 2008 happens.
This documentary started out as being about the construction of this opulent home, and it ends up being about how people go from being billionaires to apparently poor, because the banks are advancing the money on the sales of these timeshare properties. And so the money doesn't actually exist. It's all basically he has $1 billion in credit, which the banks are quickly like, yeah, you don't anymore. And he has to sell everything.
It goes downhill really, really fast. 4 months after the opening of this tower, he has to lay off 7,000 employees.
Yeah.
That's how little margin they have.
They think they said they have like $790 million tied up in this Las Vegas property. And then they have all this money tied up in the construction of this $100 million house that they're building, plus all these other properties they have all over the country.
David says that the house is about 50% complete when this happens. And so they're having to try to list it and sell it. And they want to get $100 million if they finish it, or they'll sell it as is for $75 million. But the banks want them to unload it for under $15
million. It's crazy. The realtor is optimistic because she's a realtor. And she's like, oh no, it's the jewel of the United States. It is not. It is a half-constructed nightmare. You're looking for somebody who wants a home of this size and this price range in Orlando, Florida.
It's a very narrow market.
You don't get the beach even. You don't get the mountain. You don't get anything that would make this an appealing property. You're in Orlando.
There's bugs and tourists.
Right. Their fortunes have fallen hard. So Jackie has to fly commercial for the first time in forever. She's flying to her hometown and she gets to the Hertz rent-a-car to get her rental car. And she's like,
and what's my driver's name?
And the guy looks at her like she's lost her damn mind.
I'm sorry?
What's my driver's name?
Oh, it's amazing. The look that he gives.
Oh, it just doesn't come with a driver? It's included?
There's no driver. No. Sorry.
It's hilarious. And then she connects with her best friend from high school, Tina. And she's walking through Tina's house. And it's a very normal house. It's not fancy. And she's like, wow, I'm so impressed with your beautiful home. No, she's not. Tina says she doesn't have any car payment. She doesn't have any credit card debt, but her house is in foreclosure.
Yeah, and I start to judge Jackie real hard here.
Yeah.
Until the documentary says that Jackie sent Tina $5,000 to try to save her house.
I had that same feeling where it's like, wow, you could probably shake out the quarters from one of your many couches to pay for this house. But then, of course, they actually don't have any money, so.
Jackie also takes a stretch limo at one point to a McDonald's.
These people are new money.
They're spending it on stupid shit.
Yeah. They've also taxidermied their previous dogs.
Yes.
And have them strategically located throughout the house.
One is in like a glass enclosure in the middle of one of the like bedroom hallways.
And when one of their current dogs walks past it, it sees its future and it barks at it.
The seagulls let 19 of their housekeepers and nannies go, and they're down to just only 4 staff.
And it's gone to hell in their house.
There's dog poop everywhere.
You would think over 26,000 square feet, that would be spread out enough. Every square inch of this house has papers stacked, poop on the floor, wet towels just laying everywhere, things all piled up. It's a disaster.
And there's a point where Jackie is walking through the house barefoot.
Ugh.
And I'm just cringing.
Yeah. These people suck at adulting.
Jackie tells the kids that they might have to go to college now.
Right.
And have to make their own money.
Yep.
And Jackie says that she never would have had so many children if they weren't going to be able to afford a nanny.
And the kids are like climbing on the furniture. Every lampshade is crooked. They have no table manners. They serve up a meal that takes like so much angst to make. And then the kids are eating with like their elbows on the table, just like shoving food in their mouth with their hands.
And David is not happy, but he says that he'll live to be 150 if that's what it takes for him to get back on top.
He will not be rich.
Right. But the house has been sitting on the market for 7 months. It's not going well.
No. And he's humbled, Jackie says, which she kind of likes.
But then there's this kind of downward spiral with his mood that I think she likes less.
Yeah.
Jackie calls Tina back to check on her, and their assets are so tied up that the money that she tried to give to Tina, the bank wouldn't even accept for her mortgage. So Tina's house is in foreclosure.
That's insane. Banks are heartless.
Probably one of the dumbest things that Jackie says.
I really don't understand the financial community, especially when they get all that money from the government. I thought that rescue money 2 years ago in September of 2008 was supposed to be passed on to the common people, or, you know, us.
Right. Aren't they kind of what you picture billionaires to be like, in a way?
In a way, they're kind of what I picture this money going to save. Instead of the 7,000 people who are employed by them, the money goes to these assholes.
So that they can continue to spend outrageously on stupid stuff.
Right, but apparently not.
No.
This is one shitty billionaire who didn't get the money that I thought he was probably getting from the bailout.
Perhaps the old money got to keep their money and the new money was just like, yeah, sorry, suckers. I don't know.
Some of the old money probably exists in more stable ways than what David's empire was built on.
Well, he says at one point that he has put nothing aside.
Yeah. He's saying that they might not even be able to go to college because he's got nothing for them.
That's just, wow.
Jackie's now going to Walmart.
Yes.
But she's coming back with so much crap that you can't even fit it in multiple vehicles.
It's Christmas time, and she's buying every single toy that is in the store.
Including a bicycle for one of the kids, and they bring it in to the garage, and you see dozens of bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
Laying on the garage floor. David says that when she slows down in one area, she picks up in another one, and she collects everything.
And all Richard wants for Christmas is $300 million.
It's a very short list.
I would like the same. I'm going to go ahead and say I will take $30 million for Christmas. If that could happen, please, thank you.
They have this big party at their house, and they don't have the staff to handle it anymore, so Jackie's not really able to keep control of anything. David's fussing to random different people about money woes. Jackie goes to try to kiss him and he kind of shoves her away.
Yeah. She misses having a manager to like run her household. And I just kept thinking like, this is just being an adult, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. David is doing a sit down with the documentary people and they ask him,
do you get strength from your marriage?
And he pauses and his eyes kind of shift left and right and he kind of tries not to laugh.
Uh-huh.
No. Not really. It's kind of like having another child.
And it is, because she has also procured puppies for Christmas. And then lost them in her house, along with a python that is loose in the house. How do you lose puppies?
You would think that they would at least be making noise so you could track them down.
I feel like puppies are a thing that you shouldn't lose track of. Like babies. How many times has she lost her babies?
Oh, you probably don't want to know.
Probably not. And then for Christmas, she gives herself $2,000 caviar, and David is so disgruntled by this.
Whoever got to that's going to get fired, I'll tell you that.
Meanwhile, Richard is applying for a home equity loan. I just kept thinking throughout this, like, how can you go from being a billionaire to having to get a home equity loan, having to up your credit limits? I don't know if all the 1% is actually 1%.
And this is a prime example of money not being real.
Yeah.
It's real if you're poor and you need gas, but it's not real if you're a billionaire who's just a billionaire because they're shuffling money around.
Right. And things are so dire that David is very upset when he comes home and finds the front door open and I quote, every light in the house is on.
Yes. He doesn't really fight. He just goes and sits in his study pouting grumpily away from everybody else. And Jackie comes by and he's like, get away from me.
Yeah.
And you, I don't want to kiss you.
You told me.
I don't want to kiss some old hag.
You told me when I turned 40, you trained me in for 220 years old. And because I had the Fraxel.
I'm waiting for you to be 60 so I can get 320s.
He's awful.
Mm-hmm.
She's desperate. He's grumpy and she wants to get him out of his funk. So she brings their son in and their son says that he loves him.
Love you, Daddy.
If you love me, you'll turn off the lights when you see him on.
If you really loved me, you wouldn't waste electricity. This family sucks. I would rather have my family with my little three-bedroom house, kids in bunk beds, than this family.
There are lots of dads out there who yell at their kids to turn the lights off.
How many dads, when you say, I love you, don't at least say, I love you too, and then tell them to turn the lights off?
There's a quiet moment where David tells the dog that the two of them can move into Versailles and Jackie can, the rest of the kids can stay where they are now.
Yeah, he's done.
But Versailles has gone default with the bank and they've started foreclosure.
And Jackie says that it doesn't matter to her and she would be fine with a $300,000 house. I have my doubts because this is coming from the woman that expected her Hertz rental car to come with the driver.
Right. In David's last closing interviews, he talks about how they need to live within their means and not spend money they don't have. And the camera does this amazing zoom out to show all this gilded furniture and crap in this giant cavernous room that they're in.
Right.
And then we learn that he couldn't find an investor for his Las Vegas property, so he sold the controlling interest to another group that turned his name off
right
on the building.
I stayed at the Aria in Las Vegas in December, and it was right across from these units. I think the Westgate may be turned back on.
Mm.
I don't care about these people enough to look into how they're doing now. Maybe they bounced back. I don't care. Did you learn anything?
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I did look into what the current state was.
Okay.
This was as of November of 2019. David is still alive and 85 years old.
Wow.
They still have the house. They estimate it will be completed in a couple years. One of their kids died of an opioid overdose.
Oh.
And so they're more dedicated towards fundraising and being philanthropic. And so they don't really care about the house. They just want it to be done so they can sell it. But again, who's going to buy a $100 million house?
In Orlando. I could see like Silicon Valley. You get one of those like tech billionaires or something.
Yeah. And they managed to find a 2,000 square foot house for $100 million.
Right?
No, it's a fire sale.
It's a fixer-upper. They probably just have to tear it down and redo it.
Yeah. $100 million tear down. I also felt like I had some flashbacks to watching The Osbournes. Maybe it was because of all the dog shit on the floors. But this whole like thing of people who have a lot of money that you think are living vastly better.
Yeah.
I don't have enough money to have a $100 million house, but I have the dog shit contained to one room in my house.
Right?
The other thing is, like, some people in this country who have a lot critique people who don't have much and say that part of the reason is because they're dumb with their money.
Yeah.
These people, I don't know if I've ever seen people dumber with their money.
No. I feel like billionaire status is wasted on this type of billionaire.
They have all this stuff, but, like, none of it really probably has value.
Right. This house that they're building based on the decor of their current house and their terrible taste is going to be a gaudy, awful house that nobody's going to want. And they're going to want to gut it to make it look like a normal person's style. This house looks like if you took someone who like grew up in a trailer and said, what would you want a fancy house to look like?
It's like they're Trumps.
Yes.
It's that same sort of like really showy.
I have a gold toilet.
Yeah. What did you learn?
What I learned is that you cannot buy class. She spends $1 million on her wardrobe and manages to look super, super cheap.
She looks like she's buying bodycon dresses from like Forever 21.
Yes. everything, her t-shirts, they're like bedazzled. It looks like she's shopped at Walmart for her clothes, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if you're spending $1 million a year on clothes, that's insane.
I think we see that she's about quantity, not quality.
Yeah. You'd think that like hanging out with other billionaires, you would get a sense for money. I don't know.
But they're hanging out with billionaires like Trump.
Yeah.
I don't think they're hanging out with billionaires like Bill Gates.
I'm willing to be part of an experiment where somebody gives me $1 billion and then I can demonstrate whether or not I would be classier than them.
You would just buy every tortoise in America.
Dave. Don't spoil the experiment because somebody will be giving us $1 billion in this experiment.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry. You want to spoil it, I'm not going to be able to take you with me to my giant tortoise ranch. Stop. There's too long of a pause. Fine, you stay here in our house and I will go live in a house shaped like a giant tortoise.
What's the tortoise version of Versailles?
Right.
The biggest single family dwelling in America, but it's shaped like a tortoise.
Right. It's like the inside. So it's looked like a tortoise, but you go in and it's like full of tortoises.
The architecture certainly spoils what's inside.
I know. Should I be sneakier?
I don't know. I'm more on the side of the IBM engineer who's just counting down the seconds to be able to retire.
You'd rather do that than have this $1 billion tortoise house?
I'm not sure.
How rude. This wasn't a good documentary.
No, we didn't really critique the documentary that much. I would say that there are a few moments where the documentarians reveal that they know what they're filming.
Right.
But this documentary is 1 hour and 40 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been half that.
There's a lot of detail that really didn't need to be there. I think I'm glad, though, that this ended up being about the financial collapse and not about the construction of the house.
I think if the construction of the house had gone as planned, this probably would have been a shorter documentary.
Probably.
Because it would have just been a series of, look at this other dumb thing that they did at this house.
They're so tacky, Dave. But you know what isn't tacky? Leaving us a review, forwarding our podcast to your friends, engaging with us on Twitter at Super2Story or on Facebook at Super2Stories.
And we should also thank Tomb Dragomir for the use of our theme song. It's Mexicana Massacre off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth. And a shout out to our podcast friends at the Projection Booth and at 6 Foot Plus. And Jamie, I don't know. We talk about worst and weirdest. This was kind of the most mediocre-est.
Yeah, this is a very mediocre documentary that I've now watched twice. But we're done?
I guess we're done. And on that abrupt note,
right.
We'll be back at you in a couple weeks with a new episode. Until then, I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
People leave here without buying something, whether it's big or small. Make sure they buy something today. Make a sale, save a life. Let's have a great day.